Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Hallelujah. Isn't that the most wonderful thing to be able to say? I love this time of year. Like I said, our lesson this morning is going to be based on the gospel lesson that we just heard. Well, there was this couple, and they had just moved to a town near Washington, D.C., and they decided that they'd probably just go and tour the nation's capital. And as they drove their car into Washington, they could see the Washington Monument in the distance. So they decided to drive there and to look around. Well, if you know anything about Washington, D.C., that's easier said than done. You see, Washington has a whole lot of one-way streets and bridges and traffic patterns of the downtown area that make it very hard to navigate. Well, suddenly, they found themselves on a bridge going over the Potomac River into Virginia. Then they were driving over along the river and onto the George Washington Parkway. And the Washington Monument was in their rearview mirror. So they turned around on the next opportunity. They drove back over the Potomac River, and once again, there was the Washington Monument in the distance. So they tried not to make the same mistakes that they did. But unfortunately, they found themselves once again driving across the Potomac River and onto the George Washington Memorial Parkway. Well, they tried this several more times, and they discovered many ways to get around in Washington, but nevertheless, they couldn't discover a way to get to the Washington Monument. Instead, they became very familiar with the off-ramps and on-ramps of the George Washington Memorial Parkway. Finally, they noticed a sign to the Arlington Cemetery. So they drove right to it, parked their car, and they walked around and saw the sights. And as they came back to the parking lot, they saw these tour buses. These buses gave guided tours of Washington, D.C. They purchased day passes and got on one of the buses. And do you know what? That driver took them straight past the Lincoln Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial, the Smithsonian Institute, and, you got it, the Washington Monument. He went to all those places and more, and never once did he get lost. The driver of the bus knew the way. In today's gospel, if you were listening, we heard Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. With these words, Jesus is teaching that finding the way to the Father is a little bit like trying to find the Washington Monument for the first time. It can't be done, according to this couple. It's only by the way of Jesus that we can come to the Father. The gospel that we just heard was just a few paragraphs of the teaching in the upper room on the night that Jesus was betrayed. Jesus made an important promise concerning the eternal destiny of all believers. If you remember, he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Here Jesus teaches us that although our homes on this earth may be very, very nice and comfortable, but my friends, they're only temporary. He's promised that a day will come that even though we're dead, he will raise us up to live with him forever. On that day, he will take us to his home, where he has an eternal dwelling place for each and every one of us. These lodgings in the Father's house are far beyond any luxury that we can even imagine or live in on this earthly realm that we dwell. Then Jesus said something that should give each and every one of us great comfort. He said, "And you know the way to where I am going." Now, the disciples should have known the way just like we do. For example, Jesus once said, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." That's from Matthew chapter 20. With words like this, Jesus regularly told his disciples about the way he was to go. He would go this way for the life of the world, so that all who believe in him may have eternal life. But as often as Jesus told them about it, the disciples just didn't understand, did they? I mean, you really can't blame them, though. I mean, think about the Old Testament, the New Testament, Jesus' times. I mean, in that, Jesus only raised what? A few people, and the disciples raised a couple of people. But in the entire Bible, except for Jesus, no one came back from the dead under his own power. The disciples didn't have the ability to understand that Jesus would rise from the dead after a cruel death on a cross. Now, I'm sure that Thomas spoke for all the disciples when he asked Jesus, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How would we know the way?" Thomas was thinking that if he was to be with Jesus, then somehow he had to walk the way Jesus walked. He didn't understand that Jesus would do the walking for him. Here's one way that the couple's struggle to find the Washington Monument is very different from the disciples' struggle. Eventually, they would learn how to drive to the Washington Monument. But on the other hand, neither Thomas nor anyone else can ever find the way to the Father's house. That's what Jesus meant when he explained, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus was telling his disciples that, and us, of course, that he and he alone is the way to the Father. If you know him, you know the way. But unfortunately, our natural instinct is to believe that we can find the way all by ourselves, that even sometimes we may have to make the way possible. You see, my friends, the devil and the world know about this tendency, and they encourage it greatly. Well, little Johnny was vacationing with his family when they came across a large road sign that said, "Road closed, do not enter." But little Johnny just ignored it. He went around the sign because he was confident that this would be a shortcut and save them time. His wife, of course, was resistant, as most wives are, but there was no turning back for this road warrior. After a few miles of successful navigation, he began to boast about his gift of discernment. However, his proud smile quickly was replaced with humble sweat when the road came to a washed-out bridge. So, of course, he turned the car around and retraced his tracks to the main road. But when they arrived at the original warning sign, little Johnny was greeted by large letters on the back of the sign that said, "Welcome back, stupid." You see, sometimes we can have the utmost confidence in ourselves to figure out issues or to fix promises, but most of the time, we let ourselves down. Confidence is only as good as the person that we place it in. And when going through life, the wise person places his confidence in the unchanging and all-powerful God. But unfortunately, Satan is more than happy to feed our ego. He's more than happy to tell us that we can earn our way into heaven. And the world is more than happy to help Satan out. The world sends us all kinds of messages that pump up our self-esteem, that tell us that we can do it, that we're basically good people. Most of us are nice guys, right? I mean, heaven is within our grasps. If we just put a little effort into it, it can be ours. Oh, and then there are those who teach that there are many ways to go to heaven. And they're all good. I mean, there was a man once that I read about working with an engineer from India. He had a full-color photograph of a man on his desk. The man looked as though he was in his early 20s. He wore a lumberjack shirt and blue jeans. And one day someone asked him who this person was, and he made it very clear that he worshipped him. He said that there were thousands of gods all over the world just like him, and that we needed to choose and worship him or her or it. When he was told that God died on the cross and then rose from the dead, he thought that Christians had chosen a very good God, and he was happy for us. But unfortunately, he never quite got the idea that the God we worshiped is the only true God and our only way to salvation. The world wants us to believe that our eternal destiny is like a great religious smorgasbord, you know, from which we can kind of pick and choose the things that we like. And one religion is just as good as another, they try and teach us. The world's view is exactly the opposite of what Jesus told his disciples. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The only one who can take us to the Father's house is the Son who comes to the house, who comes from the house. And Jesus Christ is that Son. He is the way to the Father. He is the truth that keeps us on that way. He is the life. He is the life that is the destination of that way. Without Jesus, there's no way to the Father. Without Jesus, there's no saving truth. Without Jesus, there's no spiritual life. Jesus isn't just one of many ways, as the world wants to teach. He's the only way to the Father. He's the beginning, the middle, and the destination of our faith. Any religion that is based on a person and work other than Jesus Christ is false and leads to eternal suffering in hell. At first, this may sound like it's all law and no gospel, but Christ's teaching really is good news. Jesus Christ didn't say that we are the truth and the way and the life. That would be pure law. And if it were true, every single one of us here would be doomed. Instead, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." It's Jesus who makes it possible for us to call God Father and have a room in his house waiting for us. So how did Jesus do that? I think we all know. He left his Father's house. He came to earth to do the work of his Father. While he was here, he took on human nature to be our substitute and lived a righteous life under the authority of the law. He then allowed the authorities to arrest him, torture him, and put him on a cross. And by doing all of these things, he satisfied his Father's wrath against all our sins. In fact, the sins of all the world. This is how he became the way for us to enter his Father's house. And so because of this, we have confidence that he is the way because he rose from the dead. This is the reason he could say, "If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Yes, my friends, his resurrection assures us that we too shall rise from the dead and that he will take us to live with him forever. What gracious words that Jesus shared with his disciples in that upper room on the evening before he went to the cross. His words are full of comfort and reassurance. How gracious it is of Christ to prepare a uniquely perfect room for each and every one of us in his Father's house. How comforting it is to know that Jesus will bring us to his Father's house safely because he himself is the way. How reassuring it is to know that Jesus is the full presence of God with us. And most important of all, how wonderful it is to know that Jesus' perfect life, sacrificial death, and glorious resurrection mean that his Father is also our Father. And his Father's house is going to be our eternal home. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and minds in the one true faith, even unto life everlasting. Amen.